Today on Real Radio.
Join a ministry and get involved and meet friends. Somehow, friend, get your armor linked. Why? Because the days are evil, friend. The days are evil. This word here in the Bible, evil days, it is a word that's also used for the very person of Satan. The word means satanically energized days lie ahead.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and in a series within a series called The Christian in Complete Armor. Our focus will be on verse 13, though we'll also take into account its surrounding context in this presentation called Equipped for the War. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We can leave this place tonight and go forward knowing that God is surrounding us. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that I'll go before you and I'll go behind you. I will be your encampment. The Lord says I'll be all around you to defend you. You know that's still true. He's defending us. Do we believe it? Will we walk like it tomorrow? The enemy's there to trip us up, but we don't have to trip. The Lord is with us. We are equipped for the war. Another thing I want you to see is that we can be confident in our captain, Jesus Christ being the captain of our souls, the bishop of our souls, says the Bible. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God here, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That we may be able to withstand in the evil day. In Psalm 121, verse 2, the Bible says, my help comes from the Lord who has made heaven and earth. That's a beautiful psalm to remember for battle. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Isn't that great? He's our strength. I don't know if you were here when Gershon Solomon spoke a while back. By the way, he'll be here, I think he'll be here in a couple of weeks, actually, to speak to us, I think, on a Wednesday night even. And Gershon Solomon was talking about when he was in the 1967 war, how he was run over by a tank in Israel, and how he was left there bleeding and left for dead, and the angels came around him and he saw them in Israel there in the Golan Heights. He saw angels. And remember when the Arab soldiers came and they pointed their guns at him to kill him? And then they all saw, their eyes got big and dropped their weapons and ran. And Gershon Solomon fainted. And later he woke up out of a coma. I think it was in Denmark or Amsterdam or somewhere where he was recovering. And they had a United Nations group there to interview him, to take questions, because it was a very strange event. Eyewitnesses saw Arab soldiers there in that June war of 1967, they were watching and waiting for them to kill Gershon Solomon. And witnesses saw all of these soldiers throw down their weapons and run away in absolute fright. And so the UN authorities asked Gershon Solomon, were you aware that these men were going to kill you? And he said, yeah, because I thought I was going to die, you know, just in the moment. And they told him, they said, you might find it interesting that the Arab soldiers that were interviewed, we've been able to catch up with them, they were interviewed, and they said that they saw angels surrounding you in that battlefield, and they ran. Now, if God would give us eyes to see in the spirit realm, for the Christian tonight, there's a great light of power around the believer. The Bible tells us there are at least one angel that has been assigned to your welfare all the days of your life. That's found in Matthew's gospel and in the book of Hebrews. In fact, it's also stated that our angel, it speaks of, our angel that watches over us. Some people call them our guardian angel. Some of us need two or more, you know, you'd think. That they represent our faces before the throne of God. Isn't that interesting? And these forces of darkness that are against us, hey, we don't have to worry about them. We've given our hearts to Christ. There's an angelic power around us, and that's comforting. But don't you like to side with Moses on this one when Moses said, hey, angels are cool, God. Thank you very much. They're nice. But I'm not going anywhere unless you personally go with us. I like that. I don't want 10 angels. I want God. I want the creator of the angels. I want God himself. The Bible tells us that Jesus, he says, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And that is comforting news. The Bible tells us here in verse 13 that we may be able. This is not the kind of able or enablement that, well, I hope so. Maybe someday you'll grow up and you can be able. No, that's not what it means. It's more positive than that. The word be able is actually God has made it possible. And it's an ongoing basis. The strength that God gives us continues. So it would maybe read better for us right now that we are now and continuing on in the position to withstand. We are very able. We are now withstanding against the enemy. And this word withstand means to stand hard against, to oppose, or to resist. This is exciting. What comes to mind is that we are to be able to link up in a power or in a rank that will cause us to continuously succeed. I want you to listen to this carefully. This is really going to be convicting for some, I would think. The term that Paul used is a Roman military term. And I want to read it to you exactly. The Roman army had an invincible method of standing fast against the enemy. When they could not advance, they stood still and they formed human squares, often 10 on each side, and going down smaller in number until there was a core in the middle. So a square within a square within a square within a square. You got me? They would form this square and they would take their shields. And they would link their shields into the next guy. They would hook on. Look at your seats next to you. Go ahead, look down. See how your seats are hooked together? The fire department made us do that. So nobody got hurt. So I don't know. I guess if you fall over the chairs, they all fall down instead of just one of them. So that hook, that link, this is exactly what the Roman government taught their soldiers to do. When you can only stand and you can't advance, rather than lose or to backslide, get together, listen carefully, Christian, get together, link up the shields, and from that position, you are able to war. Now, why did they have a row behind the row, behind the row, and behind the row? Because if one man went down, they would, as they're forming rank, the next line would be able to stay the attack. And it was known as an invincible position that Rome would take. And it was not used before in battle. Rome had invented it. Paul uses the word. The Holy Spirit put it upon Paul's heart that Christians should link up. When we can't advance for whatever purpose, we are to link up in war, in strength. No, what do Christians do so often? Well, we don't fellowship together. You know, look at the, there's almost 600 people in this room tonight. And how many of us know each other around here? We ought to start fellowshipping, man, in Lincoln armor, don't you think? We ought to get our shields together. Hey, somebody goes down, we're going to know it. We're going to be able to pick you up because you know what? We're not going to leave you behind. Can't leave you behind. In fact, I like that kind of sequential lineup because you can't leave anybody behind. You'd have to step over them to leave them. And you couldn't do that. Are you linked together? Are you a solo Christian and you don't know anyone? Listen, if that's the case that you're in, first of all, I do want you to change that. That's not an easy place to live. That's a hard way to be. And my heart goes out to you, and none of us can survive on our own. But if you don't know anybody, or you find a hard time getting to know people, then join a ministry and get involved and meet friends. Somehow, friend, get your armor linked. Why? Because the days are evil, friend. The days are evil. This word here in the Bible, evil days, it is a word that's also used for the very person of Satan. The word means satanically energized days lie ahead. Well, you might say, thank God they lie ahead. Whew, I can rest tonight. Well, Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago. I think the day's come. In fact, you should have been with me today. It's my day. And you might say, well, you should have been with me today. It was my day. Hey, listen, it's our day. I'm sorry, I got to tell you something. Maybe we can edit this out of the message. I turn on. It's an evil day. The word, the very word, used for the personage of Satan himself. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, he said, in the last days, which are these days now, the love of many will grow cold. The Bible says, because lawlessness will abound, the agapeo of many will cease. People's hearts will become callous. Well, the world is evil. This is evil. And listen, every one of us fight this callousness of our heart. Don't get callousness of heart because it will result in your agape, the love of God, and your heart growing cold. Jesus says the days will be so evil that the agape, the love of many, would grow cold. This is an evil day, says the Bible. But listen, we don't need to panic. God's strength is around us. The Bible says in Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against us will prosper, and every tongue which rises up against us in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith God. Isn't that great? No weapon formed against us will prosper. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, the Bible says, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He gave that to his believers. Isn't that awesome? The power of God. You may not think that you're very powerful in the power of God, but let me tell you, the power of God is inside you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we need to move in that power. And you want to talk about power, and I have to hurry. This is fun power right here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians 2, 14. I like when God does this kind of stuff, when God flexes his arm. He doesn't do it very often. He doesn't need to. But in Colossians 2, 14, God flexes his arm. Being wiped out the handwriting of requirements that were against us. All of the sin that you had committed, God wiped it out, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. The word public spectacle is a mockery and a laughter. Isn't that great? God says, okay, my son is dying on the cross, and by virtue of that incredible atoning event, he has paid the debt of all mankind's sins, if they'll individually come and take advantage of that. And then concerning the resurrection, when Jesus rose from the dead, it's as though God laughed at the forces of darkness. He made a public spectacle of them. The Bible tells us, I believe it's Psalm chapter 2, I'm not sure, we'll look at it later, but Psalm 2 says that the Lord shall have the unbelieving world in derision and he shall laugh. Can you imagine when God laughs? Laughs at the enemy. It's going to be great when he laughs and sings. He's not going to laugh at us. He's going to laugh with us. Zephaniah. I better not quote these scriptures that I haven't read in a while, huh? I think it's Zephaniah somewhere. 3:14 or 3:17 tells us that the Lord will spin around, dance around us, and sing with joy when we get to heaven. Now you might say, well, that sounds kind of irreverent. Well, you need to know your doctrine better, don't you? Yeah, he said it, I didn't. I'm just repeating what he said. When we get up there, he's going to be so happy that you're there. He's going to sing and spin around us with joy. How's he going to do it? I don't know. If you're not signed up to go, you better sign up so you can see what he's going to do. That's awesome. Power, the power of God. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, therefore submit to God and resist the devil. There's a good two-step. Submit to God, that means yield to him as general. And resist the devil and he will flee from you. And draw near to God and God will draw near to you. Isn't that great? Are you afraid right now? Are you scared? Are you afraid of anything in this world? Are you afraid of anything that's invisible? Here's your answer, friend. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Isn't that great comfort? When Napoleon Bonaparte was fighting, actually he had several divisions fighting in various parts of Europe. And Napoleon was making his rounds to these various wars that were taking place. News came to him that one of his divisions were losing terribly, and there's a great loss of life, and they're losing the ground, and they were going to go under. And Napoleon told the messenger, get back there as fast as you can, don't stop for anything, and tell them that I'm coming. And when that runner, or when that horseback rider got back to this division of Napoleon's that was near defeat, the man jumped off his horse and he shouted, Napoleon is coming! Napoleon is coming! And when the troops heard that, they were completely revived and bolstered, knowing that their general was soon to arrive, and they began to completely whip the enemy at the news that their commander was coming. They were so encouraged, and they were so committed to him. And I'm reminded that Jesus said in the book of Revelation, behold, I come quickly. Why do you think he ended the book in that way? Behold, I come quickly. So we'd stand hard against the evil day. And having done all to stand, we stand, therefore. I believe the Lord wants us to hear this message right now, and it starts in my heart first. The Lord spoke to my heart, I believe, and he's laying it on me, and he told me, Jack, you are not doing all that you can do to stand against the enemy. And I thought about that. And I know what it means in my life, but what it means in your life may be something different. Having done all to stand, hear this loud and clear. Don't think for a moment that just the super duper saint is going to make it. Don't think that after doing all that you can, it means that we are to muster the power within. It's for the strong. No, it's not for the strong. This is what's wonderful about the nature of our God and His Word. He takes those who are the weakest, which is us, and He strengthens us and makes us able. You see, if you're born again tonight by the Spirit of God, and the rapture happens in an hour from now, and you're a Christian, but you're just kind of floundering and you're having a hard time, and then the guy sitting next to you, he's like, super saint. And you're thinking, well, I know he's going, but I'll probably get left behind. I'll probably eat flames in the tribulation or something. Can't find that in the Bible. When the Lord comes for his own, even those of you who might be horribly backslidden and living in sin right now, if you're a Christian, and I won't know if you are, and maybe you're confused about yourself, but God knows, you're going to get raptured. Now, the Bible says that when we get up there, we're going to suffer loss of rewards for our disobedience to him, or we'll be rewarded for our obedience to him. But it has nothing to do with salvation. When Jesus causes you to be born again, you're not born again kind of. You're not born again as long as you stay in the crib. You're not born again as long as you don't run away from home. You're not born again, you see, there's no condition to it. If you give your heart to Jesus Christ and you walk with him, and should you slip away, the Lord will, according to the Bible, A, take your life from you so that you wind up in heaven. He will do that. The Bible says he'll do that. He'll take your life. If you're a Christian and you won't turn from your way, he'll take your life. So your soul will be saved. He says that to the church at Corinth. Or, the Lord will bring his chastisement, Hebrews chapter 12. He'll spank you because he loves you. He doesn't want you to get hurt. He'll spank you, and you'll come crying, and you'll crawl up into his lap, and he'll forgive you. That happens in our house every day, doesn't it? Or he'll send such difficulties into your life, one upon another, upon another, upon another, until you come back home. But thank God, any one of those situations apply to the believer in Christ. If tonight you're doing your thing and you're digging it, man, this is a great life. I go to church and I do what I want during the rest of the week. It's cool. Man, I'm doing this, I'm having that. Doing the other thing. The Bible says if you are not being dealt with by God, you are not his child at all. That would scare me to death. And Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who can harm your body. No. He says, much rather be in awe of him who has the power to take your body and your soul. God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Equipped for the War. It's part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 and, of course, other passages called The Christian in Complete Armor. Remember, our task here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your growth as a true believer, which is precisely why we offer a variety of outreaches, missions, and means of equipping, like the recent Southern California Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. If you were here for the conference, you know that it was beyond standing room only much of the time. If you were not here, visit us at realradioactive.org and learn how to get the media and print materials from the event, the Southern California Prophecy Conference, subtitled Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. Again, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.